I want to continue our thoughts in the book of Galatians, and I want to read Galatians chapter 3, verses 18 through 22. The book of Galatians is not dealing with how to be saved. The book of Galatians is teaching us how to live a life that's pleasing to God. And keeping the law, the ceremonial law, had its place before Jesus Christ came. The moral law has its place before Jesus Christ came and today as well. And the difference is, before the law, or before Jesus Christ came, the law kept faith shut out, which we will look at later on. But since Jesus Christ has come and has been raised from the dead, and it takes the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead for faith to work. Without the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, faith is void. It's useless. And of course people say, well, how did Moses, or you know, how did Moses live by faith? How did Abraham live by faith? Well, the book of Romans tells us they were given credit for living by faith. They didn't live by faith because faith wasn't in the Old Testament. But Abraham and the men and women in Hebrews chapter 11 were given credit for living by faith because they did the things that pleased God. And that's what faith is all about. Doing the things that please God. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. So here in Galatians chapter 3, verse 18, it says, "For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more a promise. But God gave it to Abraham by promise. Wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgressions, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made. And it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator." Now, a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. "Is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. But the Scriptures have concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe." So this passage of Scripture is saying, or telling us, the inheritance that we are looking for and that Abraham was looking for is not on the basis of the law. Because when God promised Abraham a heavenly inheritance as well as an earthly inheritance, the law was not given. The law did not come until 430 years or some odd years later, when the children of Israel came out of Egypt. And so the book of Galatians is dealing with not an earthly inheritance, but a heavenly inheritance. And all of us, at least for me, I desire to have a heavenly inheritance and not an earthly inheritance. If I'm a child of God, I'm an heir of God. Now, as an heir of God, I can have one or two places to enjoy for the millennium and for the ages to come, for that matter. I can have an earthly inheritance, or I can have a heavenly inheritance. So the book of Galatians is telling us the way to have a heavenly inheritance is to do it by faith, by pleasing God. But in the book of Galatians is the law of Moses, and the law of Moses tells us how to have an earthly inheritance. So, if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more a promise. It's an obligation. In other words, if we get the inheritance by keeping the law, then God is obligated to give it to us. But that's not the way it is. God is not obligated to give us the inheritance because of what we do. because the law was a practice that the children of Israel did to maintain their fellowship. So the heavenly inheritance is not based on the law, because if it was, there would be no more promise. But God gave it to Abraham by promise. And the reason I'm saying, I'm going to skip down to verse 20, where it says, now a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. In other words, when God made a promise to Abraham, there was no mediator there. In fact, when God secured the promise to Abraham, what was he doing? He was sound asleep. But you know what? When it came to the law, it was given by a mediator. And the mediator was angels. Now, I don't quite understand, because I can't find very many angels mediating the law in the Old Testament. Because usually when we read the angel of the Lord in the Old Testament, we associate it with Jehovah. Because it was the angel of the Lord that spoke to Moses out of the burning bush. But in just the few verses down below, or after that, it says, Jehovah said. So the angel of the Lord, or the angels, was the mediator, because we just got through reading that, where it says, it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. So there was a mediator between Moses and the law given to Moses, and we will see that a little later on when we read about what Stephen said in Acts chapter 7 on page 2 of your notes, where it says, who received the law by the dispensation of angels. And of course they didn't keep it. So the angels dispersed the law somehow or another. And let me say this. I'm not the only one that don't know what all that means. Because in the commentaries that I have at my disposal, which is a number of them, they're still scratching their heads. Anyway, so the promise made to Moses was before the law, and there was no mediator when it came to Moses. In Hebrews chapter 6:13, it says, when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself. And that way there was no mediator in the promise given to Abraham. And so therefore, God is only obligated because he promised it, not because of the behavior of Abraham. Now, why is the law? What is the purpose of the law? We see in verses 19 and 20 of Galatians 3, wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgressions. If there's no law, there's no transgressions. There's no sin. Now there was law, but it was limited when you think about it. You couldn't kill another man after Genesis 9, I believe it is. If you shed blood, if you kill a man, your blood would be shed. And by the way, on Larry King Live this week, Dr. Bob Jones III was on there again. And one of the things that Larry King asked him, he said, do you believe in capital punishment? And Dr. Bob Jones said, yes, I believe in capital punishment. It's biblical. And then, of course, Larry put the hard question to him. He says, well, what about the innocent people that are killed or executed because of murder? And, of course, that's a pretty difficult question until you come to the place where you understand you don't execute a man or carry out capital punishment on circumstantial evidence. You got to have witnesses. How many witnesses? Two or more witnesses. And so when you execute or you carry out capital punishment, when you have two witnesses to the execution or the murder or whatever, then no innocent persons are being killed or executed. So we're not practicing capital punishment in the proper manner today. And that's the reason why innocent people are being executed, because because of circumstantial evidence, and that's not right. But anyway, I just thought I'd mention that. I haven't think about it. And I think that we need to think. I'm personally for capital punishment if it's executed in the proper way. If there are witnesses to the execution or somebody or a murder, then capital punishment needs to be taken care of. And it should be done in at least the first 20 or 30 years, right? No. The Lord said, if the judgment is swift, the fear is instilled in the heart of man. Capital punishment does deter crime. Because we have seen rapists and murderers released here just recently that go right out and rape again and kill again. So if you execute a rapist and you execute a murderer, they will never do it again. And by the way, I don't know, the Lord didn't use DNA, and this wasn't the message this morning, but the Lord didn't use DNA back in His day, but I tell you what, that is a very powerful witness. I would say that that is a million to one witnesses. Anyway, so why is the law? Well, it brings it. It was added because of transgression. Tell the seed, that is Christ, that should come, to whom the promise was made, and it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. Now, a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. In other words, the law was given by a mediator, and those mediators were angels. Where to Abraham, it wasn't. There was no mediator involved. In Galatians chapter 3, verse 24, gives us a good idea of why the law was given. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster. A schoolmaster is one who accompanies, trains, disciplines a child who is in the family. The law is not bringing lost people to get saved. It's given to save people, to discipline them, to train them, to help them to understand what it means to live by faith, because that's what the law brings us to. The law brings us, or brought the nation of Israel to a place where they could comprehend faith, and it's provided the same for us. It brings us to Christ, the anointed seed, that we might be justified by faith. Unchargeable. In other words, the ceremonial law is no longer needed, but the moral law is still established. And to be just, you have to behave yourself. And was our schoolmaster. Now, I think about schoolmaster, I think about tutors, I've shared this with you before, the law is the one who is looking over your shoulder and telling you what to do and what not to do. This is like when you go to Bible school or Bible college. When you go to Bible college, you sign a piece of paper saying you'll abide by the rules. And then there are people who are looking over your shoulder to make sure you do what the rules say. But there comes a time in your life when you don't need somebody looking over your shoulder. You behave yourself because of what God requires. And that's the difference between a schoolmaster and living by faith or living in the Abba Spirit. Also, the law provided us with a deeper knowledge of sin. In Romans 3:20, by the law is the knowledge of sin. Now, the word knowledge is misleading. This word knowledge is knowledge upon knowledge, or deeper knowledge, or distinct knowledge. What you learn about sin is that all have sinned, in Romans 3, verse 23, and come short of the glory of God. The law shows us that we have fallen short of the glory. Now this is, by the way, you've got to keep in mind, the law was given to save people. And I guess they needed to know that, they didn't need to know that they were sinners, but they needed a deeper knowledge of sin to know that they were falling short of the glory of God. Well, what is the glory of God? Well, the glory of God is not salvation. The glory of God is what is something that we're hoping for. In Romans 5:2, by whom also we have access by faith unto this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in what? In the hope of the glory of God. Where is the glory of God? It's in the heavenlies. What are we seeking? A heavenly inheritance. And I hope that I will have a heavenly inheritance. So it's Christ in me, the hope of glory. What do you mean by Christ in me? Well, Christ in me is not the Holy Spirit being in me. That's the Holy Spirit dwells in me. Christ is not in me because He is at the right hand of God the Father in His body of flesh and bones, His blood being on the mercy seat. So Christ is not in me, but His attitude, His purpose can be in me. What was Christ's purpose? To do the will of the Father. That's why He was able to say, Abba, Father, not my will but thine be done. Now, if I'm saying that in my life today, if I'm accepting my circumstances the best you can in the spirit of Abba, Father, not my will but thine be done, then you are pleasing the Lord, and that's Christ in me. And it's the hope of glory. If I have Christ in me, the hope of glory. What was Jesus Christ saying when He was praying to the Father? Give me the glory I had before, Lord or Father. I want that glory that I had before that I don't have now. When Jesus was walking around here on the earth, He didn't have the glory. But He wanted it back when He got home. And you find that, I think, in John 17. So, it's Christ in me, the hope of glory. And of course, and then 1 Thessalonians 2:12 tells us that we need to walk worthy of God who hath called us, or called you unto His kingdom and glory. Now, it's interesting to note also in Galatians 5 and verse 5 that for we through the Spirit, that is the Abba Spirit, not the Holy Spirit, I believe this is the Spirit of adoption, the Spirit by which we cry, Abba, Father, not my will but thine be done. We wait for the hope of the righteousness which is by faith. Now, if we're waiting for something, it means it's not here yet. At least that's what I consider waiting. If I'm waiting for a bus, it's not here yet. And so we're waiting for the hope of righteousness. And by the way, you know, I guess maybe here in Minneapolis it's a little different. Maybe buses are more sure about coming. But, you know, there may be a time when the bus won't show, particularly if you get out there too late. Anyway, hope is not a sure thing. That's the point I wanted to make. In other words, the hope of righteousness is not a sure thing, particularly if we quit hoping for it. And of course, it's the righteousness by faith that is kept. If you make shipwreck of the faith, you don't lose your salvation, you lose your inheritance. If you make shipwreck of the faith, you're no longer pleasing God, and you cannot be assured a heavenly inheritance. Now, in Romans chapter 3, verses 21 and 22, it says, But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifest, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God which is by faith, that is, pleasing God, of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. Now I'm reading this verse because I want you to see the verb believe. It's in the present tense. And the present tense of the verb believe means that there is a continuous action of trusting, believing, accepting, and there's no difference between believing in the present tense and faith. They are equal. They are equivalent. Okay? And that righteousness of God is provided us or provided those who continue to believe. This is faithfulness. You know, we have read several times in the book of Galatians and in I'm skipping into something here that I don't have it written down. It's the fruit of the Spirit. I wanted to read it instead of quote it. The fruit of the Abba Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, of course, and as such there is no law. In other words, if you're producing this fruit, then there's no law against it. But what I want you to emphasize here is the word faith. This can also be faithfulness. In other words, this fruit is being evidenced in my life. In other words, if you were to come by this tree, this Abba tree, would you find in my life love? Would you find joy? Would you find peace? In other words, you sure don't want to come to somebody that's wringing his hands all the time for help, do you? I mean, if I'm wringing my hands all the time, that's not very good fruit. You won't enjoy that. So, peace, long-suffering. Am I long-suffering? Am I gentle? There's a time to be gentle and there's a time to be tough. There's no question about that. Paul says, if you don't work, you don't eat. That's pretty tough. But he also says, I'm going to treat you like a nurse. You know, he does treat... I'm going to treat you like a nurse. Take care of you. Goodness. Now, faith. Now, I can't demonstrate faith. I mean, I can demonstrate it in a way. But let me tell you this. I can demonstrate faithfulness a lot easier. If you come around me, am I faithful? You can see that. So that's a fruit that we need to have. And so part of believing in the present tense is the fruit of faithfulness. And of course faith is involved in that as well. You can't have peace without grace, and you can't get grace without faith. So, I mean, we just tying those things together. Now, in this passage in Galatians chapter 3, it talks about life. And in Galatians 3:21, it says, is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. In fact, the law teaches us about the promises of God. One of the things that Paul did in the last few Sundays is teaching in types, pictures. What is it teaching us? It is teaching us that the promises of God, and particularly the promise of the heavenly inheritance, is seen in the Old Testament in types. So the promises of God are not against the law, or the law is not against the promises of God, but they teach them. For if the law had been given, which could have given life, and the word given here is in the present tense, it's a continual giving, and the law cannot provide the quickening that we need, or that we're anticipating. I want you to realize the fact that there's more than one life that we're talking about. If you're dead in your trespasses and sins, you need life. How do you get that life? Well, when you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you're born into the family of God. A little baby has what? Life. And when you're born into the family of God, you have life. And that's what the Lord told Nicodemus, except a man be born from above, he cannot see the kingdom of God. But in John 10:10, Jesus said, I am come that they, that is the sheep, might have life, born into the family, and that they might have it more abundantly. So there's a life that has to do with being brought into the family, and then there is the abundant life. Let me tell you, if you have a heavenly inheritance, you have the abundant life. Because in John 10, verse 27 and 8, it says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. In other words, they are going to have the evidence of the Abba Spirit. They're going to be listening, and they're going to be hearing. Are they going to be hearing His voice? And they're going to be following Him, and they're going to be producing the fruits of the Spirit of His Son. And the Lord says, and I will give them, give unto them, kingdom or age-lasting life, kingdom life. And they will never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Now you need to understand a little bit of the Old Testament types. What does it mean by perish? Well, those who died west of the or east of the Jordan River, they did not enter into the better inheritance. They didn't get to enter the land flowing with milk and honey. And that included Moses. That included Aaron, a high priest, a man who went into the Holy of Holies. He missed it. You know why? Moses missed it, and Aaron missed it, and all those other guys out there missed it. It's because you can't get the blessing under the law. That's what he was teaching. You got to live by faith. And who demonstrated that faith? Caleb and Joshua. He says, let's sick them. Let's go take them. We can take them. And so he had the fruit of faithfulness because he knew who he trusted. Well, now, the righteousness of the law. Well, the Old Testament or those under the law were seeking the righteousness. We see that in Romans chapter 9, verse 31 and 32. But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, hath not attained to the law of righteousness. Wherefore? Because they sought it not by faith, but as it were, by the works of the law. In other words, when you look at the Old Testament saints, they were under the law, they had the temple, but you know what? They were desecrating the temple. They were sacrificing, doing sacrifices in high places around the city. They just were living in sin. That's all they were doing. Yet they still had a show of practicing their religion before the Lord. And so therefore they did not seek to please the Lord by living a faithful life. Some of them did. Some of the kings did. But none of the kings in Israel did. So, they did not seek it by faith. Matthew chapter 5 verse 20 tells us, I say unto you, except your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, you shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. You'll no case have a heavenly inheritance. Not get saved, not be saved. The righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees was what righteousness? It's the righteousness of the law. And how do we exceed that righteousness? By living by faith. That's how you do it. So, what hinders us to live by faith? The flesh. The flesh. Romans 8, 3 and 4. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the what? The flesh. God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Abba Spirit, found in Galatians 4, 6. Jesus Christ makes it possible for us to attain unto the righteousness that the Jews wanted, which was a heavenly or better inheritance. And Jesus Christ made that possible because what are we in the flesh? Weak. Paul says, I glory in mine infirmities. Why? That the power of Christ might rest upon me. And that power of Christ, which is the grace of God, could not rest upon Paul if Jesus Christ had not risen from the dead and was at the right hand of the Father. So in Romans chapter 8, verse 15, it says, For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The spirit that he's talking about is the Abba Spirit, where we're able to say, Not our wills, but thine be done. So, I think what we're going to do is we're going to wind things down a little bit. so that we're I've run out of time, and I've run out of steam too, as far as my physical body is concerned. But I do want to encourage us in Galatians 3:22 before we close. But the scriptures have concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe in the present tense. We need to be faithful to the Lord. That's one of the fruits of the Spirit, is to be faithful to God. And believing in the present tense provides that for us. Paul said in 1 Timothy 1:16, "Howbeit for this cause I obtain mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on Him leading to life for the age." This is in the present tense. Believe. That here should hereafter believe in the present tense. Be faithful to Him. And the word "to" is the Greek, is a Greek preposition that can be translated leading to. It's also translated for and unto, but in some modern translations that people accept today, it's also translated leading to. And I think that's a good translation, because that's what being faithful to the Lord will lead to. Lead to what? Lead to life for the coming kingdom and the coming age. So, what does John tell us again? "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth," present active on me, "will esteem life for the age." If you're believing in the present tense, you're going to value a heavenly inheritance. You're going to value ruling and reigning with Christ. You're going to value hearing, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." And it's going to encourage you to behave yourself, not because I'm checking on you, not because the law is checking on you, so to speak. The schoolmaster's been dismissed. I graduated, supposedly. In other words, Paul says, you've been saved long enough that no one needs to be teaching you anymore. You need to be teachers. That's what it says in Hebrews chapter 5. And when you are living on milk and not on meat, you're under school teachers. You're under tutors. You're not living by faith. And we need to behave ourselves because we want to please God, and it will be profitable for us. And we will appreciate the suffering that we'll have to endure being faithful to the Lord. Father, I just pray that you'd bless the message to our hearts. We thank you, Lord, that you made it possible for us to please thee by being raised from the dead and set on the right hand of our Heavenly Father in the heavenlies. And we thank you, Lord, that you have taught us, and you've allowed us to grow so we can teach others and encourage others to be just and to live by faith, to believe in the present tense. Lord, we desire the life for the age that you have offered us, and we pray, Lord, that you'd help us to be faithful to you until that day when we receive the hope of righteousness, which is by faith, because we will hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," and enter into the joy of the Lord. We ask you, Father, to bless us as we serve you in these days faithfully. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen and amen.